show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week's technology. It's been a whole week since we're here, but we're back now, and we're ready to go. Next week is Thanksgiving. I'll get this warning out early. So Jeff is indisposed, as is everyone else, who's American. So we're going to move the big show to Friday night. So if anyone's available for Friday night, then now's the time. So I'm organised this week, see? I've organised. I've actually got guests that haven't come at the last minute as well.
What? Because they're actually invited.
Okay, good, fair points. Joining me to discuss the week in technology, all the big tech stories that have taken place. Top left, Carl Madden. How's it going, brother?
Hello, sir. How are you? I'm very well. Well, it's not very well. I'm knackered. Another hard day.
Yeah, but in a good way.
Yeah, but they're trying to kill me.
Sitting on your ass in a van all day, driving around.
To Oxford and back again, yes, great.
Oxford's never good anyway.
It's all right. Lots of Costa coffees in those damn services.
Now, I do gather that there is a parcel due soon.
Well, there's three, actually.
There's three packages. And what would be in those packages then, Carl?
Well, wrong show, really, isn't it, dude? It's...
What you're saying is it's the start of the month and you're skint already.
No. We'll do it for... No, there is... There's a mini...
Back where it wants to see Carl's package. Oh, Jesus Christ.
And a MacBook Pro.
A Retina iPad Mini, an iPad Air, and a Retina MacBook Pro.
Yes.
You're a long way out of pocket.
No, it's not. This is one of the beauties of not having a family or anything.
True. Good point. No kids. I'd forgotten that bit. Good man. Next to him, it's Jeffrey. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good.
Now, you know I recommended a beard trimmer last week. It's only for your chin. It's not for your head as well, dude.
I'm a bad aim.
It's a good cut. It looks great, mate.
Oh, thank you.
Tight at the sides, fluffy at the top. You look a bit Johnny Bravo-ish, I have to say.
Oh, well, I'll have to put my big arms on.
Get some sunnies. How's the week in Denver? Or Colorado, even.
It's always an adventure. We actually have snow now for the first time this season. Really, I guess we did have a little bit of snow once already, but yeah. So here we are. What is it? November 21st, and we're finally actually getting some snow.
Wow! And that's late.
That's late. Yeah.
Oh, cry.
Yeah. We usually get a snow that ruins Halloween for the trick or treaters.
Oh, that's not a bad thing, then.
Right.
Bah humbug, bah humbug. Next to him, Gazmaz. How's it going, brother?
It's going very well, thank you, Ewan. Absolutely spawn-rific. And I'm now on a panic station because you said you wanted top tech stories of the week.
Well, steady on.
And you know me.
The usual mixture of shit that you managed to bring to this will be fine.
Hey, that's what we're good
You at. Still haven't hung that frigging picture.
I know. It's dreadful, isn't it?
What are you like?
Desperate. I'll do it one day.
I can't speak. I've had my father-in-law's taps banner for 12 years.
Ah, well.
And I can't give it him back yet because I haven't done the tap.
don't give it back because you'll never get it done.
No, exactly.
I had a knock on the door just before I came up.
Because, all right.
We've got decorators coming in next week, you see. That's how good I am now. I pay people.
Yeah, well, shove a fiver their way, see if they'll hang your picture for you. And last but by no means least... It's our correspondent in Norwich, our ace reviewer.
Where are you?
Righty. Our East of England correspondent.
I'm coming to you loud and clear.
How's it going, boy?
I'm all right, mate. I'm bloody marvellous, actually. Had a fantastic week.
Oh, that's good.
I'm feeling brilliant for once. There you go. I'm not moaning about anything.
I'm going to say, you're normally pretty doer.
I know. No, I'm feeling great. Look at that.
Excellent.
Can't beat it.
We like that. Good man. The week in tech, what's been happening? Well, if you're in Fort Worth, you had to be careful because you were getting pulled over on Friday. Police set up a roadblock and people were directed into a parking lot where they were asked, in inverted commas, by federal contractors for a sample of their breath, saliva and blood. It was part of a government research study aimed at determining just how many of us are pissed or drug impaired. The National Highway Traffic Safety Agency of America said it's spending $7.9 million on the survey over 3 years. Just for swabs. Participation was said to be 100% voluntary by the services that were providing it. However, participants did not all agree.
Not surprised.
I love that story. That's brilliant. And if you've got a PlayStation 4, apparently when you switch it on, you get a blue light which pulses slightly at the start and then it turns white, and that shows that you're ready to play. Unfortunately, it appears that there is a blue light of death.
Already?
Already. It's not known how widespread this is, says the story. However, what happens is you switch your PS4 on, it pulses blue but never goes white and therefore never outputs an image to the screen. But as I say, there's no statistics. It's just anecdotal stuff off Amazon reviews, Twitter and YouTube that have given the rise to this story.
Was this linked to the story about some of the Foxconn employees not being happy and purposely sabotaging some?
You think?
There was a story earlier in the week about that.
How would they manage to sabotage it that accurately in that way?
I don't know. Well, whoever was fitting something didn't fit it to spec, and so then it just went along the conveyor belt and to the next person, and I don't know how... That was the rumour. It could just be a big rumour, but... Well, it could just be teething problems. It was a brand new piece of kit, obviously. Lots of complex machinery in there. You'd probably get the same...
You nearly said complex moving parts then, didn't you?
And it, well...
said the tech pundit.
No, you're going to get the same with the Xbox One probably next week as well.
So. What complex moving parts?
There's a spindle in there.
There's a hamster. There's a frigging hamster in there. I'm telling you. Sorry, mate. Batwench, hot off the news, by the way. Batwench has just confirmed that the Billy Idol Christmas CD that we were discussing beforehand, which will be in the VIP show this week, is available from iTunes for $7.99. That's a WTF moment if I ever heard one.
Is that what they
play? A, it's Billy Idol. B, it's 35 years old. For Christ's sake.
But he was, what, 60?
He's got to be now. Got to be. What's the next story then? So the other thing is, a lady called Jen Palmer is looking at getting a fine for $3,500. That fine's in an inverted commas, by the way. She went to Clear Gear, which is kind of like Think Geek, but shite. And she ordered some merchandise, which never arrived. So she wrote a review on ripoffreport.com, and Clear Gear have sent her a credit agency to collect $3,500 in fines, which apparently is part of a clause which she allegedly signed up to when she bought the items that says she couldn't give a negative review. But the clause wasn't there allegedly before she actually ordered the items anyway. By email, a person did not identify themselves but sent a demand for $3,500 referring to the terms of sale. Jen was threatened with it, and she was told that if she didn't remove the post, it was she would face a fine. Now, this is quite interesting because the company said, when asked if it was blackmail, that it was not. It was a diligent effort to help them avoid have to sustain the fine. They didn't reference anything about keeping their good name. They just wanted to help Jen not get fined, in inverted commas, by them. Let me just finish off, because Jen has had the last laugh, because the terms and conditions are null and void regardless anyway, because they never actually delivered the frigging thing. So the sale's not complete.
There was an additional wrinkle as well. She couldn't originally take down the review because to take down the review, the company wanted another £2,000 to take down the review or something as well.
All right. So there you go. If you want anything for Christmas...
She got well screwed.
Cleargear.com is clearly the place to go. This network heartily recommends Cleargear.com. We love them. We couldn't do this show without them. They provide us all the news. there we go.
In one way or another.
Do you own an LG TV? Do you like watching it?
That's one story I've got to throw out.
Me?
Well, we'll come back to that one then.
Shit.
I shall just say that the only...
Paul, you can have that one, mate.
Oh, cheers.
Let's just say that you're not the only one doing the watching. Yeah, there we go. Our company has developed a way of tracing who gave you the HIV virus, if you have it. The Los Alamos National Laboratory has identified that Darwin's finches, which is apparently a principle of how birds spread from one island to another, and how their DNA changed has been applied to the HIV virus, and they found out that it's correct, because the thing is, the reason it's hard to cure is every time it's in a new host, it subtly changes itself. So what you can do is trace the lineage, if you like, of where the virus came from. And they're starting a database to find out. And I just looked at that and I thought, if you're talking about that's a way of finding, of curing the virus, then huzzah, well done. But I think they're not. I think this is going to end up as just a basic database for litigious AIDS sufferers. You gave me AIDS, therefore you're culpable. Give me money.
Wow. Well, I don't know. They could be using it just to, like, you know, if someone gets diagnosed, they can go back and say, you better go and get diagnosed as well. And
no, because they can't trace it back unless they know the other person's got AIDS as well. I can't see who had it before. It's not. It doesn't. It hasn't got. It's not like a passport where it's got a stamp in it or something like that of where they've been. Unfortunately, unless they know the person that they've come from. So there you go. I don't see any benefit to that. If they can't cure the thing, then it's just a case of suing heaven. Is your name Melissa Backman? Because if it is, I'd kill yourself. Because this woman is quite possibly the most evil woman I've ever seen in my entire life. If you're into guns and that kind of stuff, you probably think she's dead hot. But just for kicks, she went out and shot a lion for a TV program and then had a picture posed smiling with herself and put it out on Twitter. And she's had to close down her Twitter and Facebook account now from the absolute vitriol that quite rightly has come her way, because there is a word that rhymes with a kind of boat that's in Cambridge. And I've got to say, if there was ever anyone that this fitted, it's her. The kind of boat that's in Cambridge. Look for Cambridge boats.
Well, it was Ricky Gervais, wasn't he? He tweeted out, because she wrote originally Good Hunt, and he went autocorrect.
No, Good Sport. She said sport, and he said, no, it's not a sport unless the lion has a gun too.
She said Good Hunt, and then he said, surely that's a misspell.
Yeah, that too. And I saw the sport one. I didn't see the hunt one.
Oh, right. I figured it out.
Ah, good lad. Yeah.
Hunt.
God love Google.
Google.
But the thing is that I reckon that lion, you look at where it's laid, if you drag a lion out to have your picture taken by it, its hind legs aren't bent back. So that lion was probably fast asleep.
Well, his eyes are shut.
She shot a sleeping lion.
Yeah, well, that's what male lions do, though. Sleep.
But she's obviously got dyslexia. Instead of let sleeping lions lie, it's let sleeping lions die. So, I don't know. She's a horrible, evil woman. We don't like her. And that's the most data time she's going to get. As long as it helps to crucify the bitch, she just finds nowhere that she can live. In fact, she could go on that mission to Mars thing. And apparently the likelihood of surviving that's like about 2%. So that would be perfectly apt. Now then. Do you like your Hubble pictures? I love Hubble pictures. I absolutely adore Hubble pictures. This is Messier 15 or M15. It is a galaxy, and it is the highest density of stars that they've ever found in the entire universe. And look at that. I mean, that's like a snowfall looking upwards on a heavy night in Colorado. So, Messier 15. Now, the thing is, you're thinking, well, that's great, because there must be an Earth-like planet there. There's got to be civilization we could contact or go to. That is 35,000 light-years away. The light you're looking at is 35,000 years old. That's amazing. And however long it took you to download the podcast.
That's quite close then, isn't it?
And you're thinking, well, okay, but that looks like a dense concentration. From the left-hand side of the picture to the right-hand side of the picture is 120 light-years. So maybe it's not that dense after all.
That's about 5 inches.
It still looks pretty dense.
That's where Star Trek...
You really know how to make us feel small, don't you?
That's the set for Star Trek right there. Oh, we'll be alone forever, mate.
Yeah, I agree with you.
This planet will become a red ball, and we will die never knowing if there's anything else out there. I guarantee it.
Unless we move.
We ain't even move. Christ.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, mate. 50 years ago, we killed an American president. I don't think we're going to move to far interplanetary in the next 5 billion years.
Hope. There's always hope.
I don't think so. Apparently, here we go. Here's one for you guys. What is the new biggest word in the Oxford Dictionary?
Selfie.
Oh, you bastard. You read the story. Now, that is the ultimate selfie, is it not?
Isn't that the point we come on the show because we've read the story?
Well, mate, you're the only person that ever reads any tech stories and comes on this show.
Oh, okay. Hang on, Jeff.
Hang on, here we go. Hands up if you're prepared. Yeah, see, there we go. Gaz has got wine in his hand.
What show are we on?
Exactly. There we go. That's the one. But that is the ultimate selfie, isn't it? I took a picture of myself in a spacesuit with the sun in the background. Oh, yeah, and the earth was reflected in me mask. I don't know who
that is.
That's
the most awesome selfie ever.
You bastard, whoever that is. You freaking bastard.
Yeah, but it was me.
Oh, Gaz!
Isn't it a shame he's not getting photobombed by an alien?
Yeah. And I'd have to go back and edit then and take out that little bit, wouldn't I?
They should have done that at NASA before they gave him the picture back.
The problem is, Carl, he is. That bright light in the top left is actually a torch.
a head torch.
An alien.
It's a contractor with a helmet on.
It's an alien eye.
Alien Eye, we have a title. The Week in Tech, what's been going on then? Your top left, Madden, you can start us off, mate.
Well, I'm going to go with have you heard of the coin?
The coin, go on.
Oh, yes. So, yes. Coin's awesome. It has the potential to be very awesome.
Indeed. So it's like a little credit card-sized device. And what you do is you get your current credit cards and you swipe them through this device and it transfers all the information from your credit cards into this device. Then you take this device into a shop or a cafe or whatever, and you pay. You can just press the button and choose what card you want to then use to buy your goods.
Is this called Coin Tech?
Just called Coin.
Coin, right, okay.
This is not coming out until summer next year, and he's been trying to raise some money. He wanted to raise $50,000 to begin production and things like that. He blew through that in 40 minutes. Now, unfortunately, this is not going to work in the UK because we use chip and pin. We don't do the strip anymore. But it just seems to me that there seems to be a war on cash at the moment.
Jump in there, Carl? Sorry.
Yep.
I think the video to this actually shows or indicates that it's re-chipping the card and it's re-magnetizing the magnetic card. So it seems you press the button and it changes the magnetism in the card. The indication is that it changes the magnetism in the card. And then obviously you can then use whichever card you've decided upon. There's a couple of issues here. Firstly, you give your card for somebody to then swipe, they could accidentally press the button, or they could press the button and change the card that you actually need. And two, I think they are actually a proxy for payment. It's got nothing to do with the card itself. It's just that they are a proxy payment, and obviously it goes through to them. They've seen the piece of information or the pieces of cards or the information of the cards that you want to use. There's a piece of information which is sent to them that says, you know, this is possibly the card that he wants to use. As a proxy, you then put that request into the appropriate card company and then come back. And so I'm not sure it's quite as clever as possibly it indicated where, but...
See, I don't think once you scan the card in, they no longer became involved. It just went through the scanner as usual.
But where's the rub then, though?
But you're going to see the problem I thought you'd have with it. You're going to get loads of merchants and waitresses and waiters go, what the hell's this?
Yes. And then start pressing the button.
That's it. And the other thing I thought, if you've got a brand new one and you went out with your friends and you said, can I just buy your credit card a moment? Just swipe their credit card through your new coin.
I've done a lot of research on this because...
Okay.
All right, go on.
I found it to be absolutely fascinating, and my first thought was, this could go horribly wrong. But I didn't want to just do a knee-jerk reaction. So here's what I found out so far. The way the system works is that you have to physically have the credit card that you want to add to coin. And then there's this little attachment that plugs to your iPhone so that you can swipe the card reads the magnetic stripe, and then uploads that information into an application on your iPhone where you manage all of the cards that you want. And then through Bluetooth, you transfer the magnetic stripe data for up to 8 cards over to the coin. And the way the button is set, it's supposed, and of course we haven't actually seen one yet, it's supposed to be difficult to accidentally switch which card is selected. And it also uses Bluetooth LE. So when the coin gets out of range of your iPhone for whatever pre-specified amount of time you set, it just deactivates itself. So it's not like someone can take your card and go off and use it and buy all kinds of stuff, because the card will, or the coin will deactivate. You also have to take a photograph of the card when you swipe it in, so that it has a check and balance built in. So it's not like someone could just run along and swipe a bunch of cards and steal a bunch of people's credit cards. I mean, but there's a lot easier ways to steal people's credit cards than by using this.
Right. But I mean, the thing is whether it's effective and whether it's usable and whether it'll take over and provide any benefit. I mean, if you're talking about the fact that the Kickstarter sold out that quickly.
It wasn't the Kickstarter.
Oh, well, okay.
It was, in fact, it wasn't any of those sort of things, because yeah,
they're just doing it themselves.
Yeah, because the other ones, they first of all, they demand you have a product to actually do. Then this is just, this is his idea, which he's asking for the money to build his idea at the moment.
Mm.
And when you send your money off, you don't even have to give your address of where you are, because he said they say on the website, because you might change address between now and next summer. okay. It's a wonderful idea, but I don't know. I'm worried about the implementation of it and the acceptability of it. I mean,
but Carl, you said yourself, it's not chip and pin, and everybody over here uses chip. Nobody swipes anymore. In fact,
no.
I've used that on numerous occasions now, where I just put my card on the machine and pull it away.
And that scares the hell out of me.
It's worked so far, and I've got no dodgy payments, but. I mean, if they get that right, that's going to be the way you go. And then it'll move to your phone. That's, you know, whichever phone you've got, whether it's an iPhone or an Android or a Microsoft jobby.
They say further down the road they want to try and address the chip and pin version of it.
Yeah, they're talking about a future version, maybe like version 2 that does that.
But we're already moving on from the chip and pin.
We don't need you don't need the pin to do touch and go, which scares the crap out of me. It really does.
It does in my pub anyway.
But does this future scare anyone? Because I personally now, the only time I actually get physical money out is when I'm going to the pub. Because I don't want to use my credit card in the pub for whatever reason, just in case I lose it or put in the wrong number or something. But also, it scares me because...
By the time you've had several drinks, you won't remember your number anyway. So you're probably good caller.
There's that as well. But the other thing is, it's so easy when you're not using cash and you're only using credit, as I discovered just this week. It doesn't feel like you're spending a penny when you're just paying with your various debit cards and whatnot. So it definitely seems to be a war.
PayPal scares the crap out of me for that kind of stuff.
Well, PayPal has its own chip and pin scanner now, of course, which you can get for 99 quid. And again, I suggested to my brother, because he's a mechanic. And I said, it'd be perfect for you because you can get customers in, they can pay for their credit card. That way you can sort of cut out part of the card and all those other people.
You're still taking 4%.
Still take a percentage, yep, absolutely. But there's no rental for the machine or anything like that. Anyway, so...
Well, there's a lot of those companies as well. I mean, for example, me, I can't take credit cards because I don't have a premises for a lot of card manufacturers, card retailers. So... You can, as long as you've got a premises at which you do business, they'll let you do it. But if you're doing it from a domestic address, they're not interested in where they let you. And that's where the PayPal thing would come in. And I've had a lot of people lately, in the last 2 years, people have rung me up and said, yeah, okay, can you take a credit card for that? And I can put it on expenses. Like, Christ, you're talking about 5 days worth of work here on a credit card. Yeah, it's fine. No problem at all.
But Ewan, you're saying the cards where you just swipe is frightening you. I mean, what about Bitcoin? And that comes along.
I don't think Bitcoin's going to. I don't think. No, I mean, did you see the story about assassinations?
Which police force in the US have had to pay by Bitcoin because they supposedly lost their data to this hack that's going around, where they encrypt all of your data.
Cryptolog.
Cryptovirus, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You got to pay in bitcoins now because it's untraceable.
And apparently a US police force, I'm not sure which one it was now, got caught out and actually paid it.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. But there's an assassinations thing now, isn't there, on via Bitcoin or on Silk Road? Well, a guy started up a service for assassinations, and it's only something stupid. Like the Obama one is $25,000, and you could find someone that'll take the $25,000 to go and hit Obama. And the only one that's the top of the list is the guy that's the head of the Federal Reserve. And he's $75,000 if you want to hit him off. He's probably the most accessible of the lot. So
frightening.
There you go. It's an interesting one. I think the credit card market and the financial markets for technology are in a real huge state of flux. And I mean, everyone's going on. I keep talking to Steve Neighbour down at London Mac User Group about when Apple's going to put NFC in it. I said, Apple never put NFC in as long as there's no 30%. When there's a 30%, then they'll put it in. And they're not going to put it in for 4% because they're not a financial house.
I don't think they will put it in. They're going with their iBeacon thing for that. Location.
They are in a flux, and you're dead right. I mean, mobile banking has changed the way I bank completely. I use Barclays, and their app is absolutely superb. And I've been using it now for, I don't know how many years. Mm-hmm. And over the last, I would say, 18 months, it's completely changed the way I do all of my banking.
I've got the PIN Sentry thing. Love it.
Yeah.
Superb.
In fact, I don't use that now because obviously you can use it, the PIN Sentry process on the phone.
Yeah. Superb. Good stuff. I like that one. Mr. Gamut, what do you have for us?
All right. Hold on. Let me bring this one up. I found what to me is incredibly funny. The new Boeing 787 Dreamliner.
<That's funny>. said the man who's done the prep.
Yeah. Okay. So the pilots, they take off for its first flight. They head out for for this flight. They need to take the airplane to a different airport. No problem. Everything's going fine. They land, and air traffic control says, "Where are you?" And the pilots say, "Well, we just landed on the runway," and air traffic control is all, "No, we don't see you out there. They landed at the wrong airport."
Okay, we've had problems with planes trying to land on a road here in the Birmingham 20 years ago. Was there a logical explanation for this, or was it a fault with the airliner?
They just went to the wrong airport and landed at the wrong airport. And to make it worse, it's an airport that has runway that's just a little bit too short for a plane this big to lift off from.
Oh, no! So they're going
to
break it.
That's the wrong picture as well. You need to do the 747 cargo jet.
That's a 787.
No, this is a Boeing 747 cargo, jumbo cargo jet.
Jeff said it was a 787 Dreamliner.
It's the 787 Dreamliner.
Which is what that is.
Oh, no, it carries the parts for that, apparently.
Oh, right.
That's what it says on the piece I'm looking at.
Oh, right, okay, right, got you. Oh, bollocks. Who cares?
Actually, if you go to, there's a site, wilx.com, and they've got a live video stream of it trying to take off, or when it tries to take off.
No.
Yeah, it's just at the moment, I think it's just sitting there.
Have you ever seen the photograph of the Boeing wing test?
No.
You've got to see this. I'm going to put it up on the feed. Just give me a second here to kind of get it. I hope this has done it. Yeah, I think it has. There you go. That is the Boeing wing flex test. That happens on every Boeing plane. So basically, because I think if you think about it logically, the thing is suspended by the wings. So what they do is they suspend it by the wings. And that is the flex test. You can just see the wings there in the background.
Holy crap.
And they're 30 foot. The tips of the wings are 30 to 40 foot above the body because it's actually suspended by the wings. There you go. But I've seen that. I saw that years ago, and I just thought, well, that'd be a good show.
Like a Ouija board, isn't it? You want to bounce it up and down.
No, that's not what you do with the Ouija board, mate. That's why it's not work for you, I don't think.
Are you using Ouija board as code for something else?
Oh, right, okay. My mistake.
It's scary, though, because how can a modern-day plane land at the wrong airport? You assume that there's beacons and autopilots and everything.
Carl, do a search for planes taking off from wrong airport, and you'll find that they actually landed at the wrong airport. That's why they're taking off from the wrong airport.
You find a big strip of concrete, man, when you got a plane, you kind of, you know...
You're running out of fuel.
I need to get there.
I tell you what...
I mean, from the sky, they all look alike, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I tell you what, I bet if you check their pockets, they've got lots of cash.
That wench wants a picture. All I did was Google Boeing wing flex test. That's all you need to do. Boeing wing flex test. Four separate words, and that'll show it you. But there you go.
Due to take off at 12 p.m., CST, whatever that is. What's CST?
Central. 6 hours from us. So, that's already taken off, according to that, then. Or unless you're talking tomorrow.
Escaped.
It's gone. It's gone.
So does the story tell you what they're going to do about getting it to take off from the too short runway?
They think the Boeing... Oh, sorry. Yeah, just going to try story.
They're going to let some air out the tires.
Go ahead.
No, go on, Jeff.
They're going to try anyhow, see if they can lift off.
What the hell?
I mean, really, what could possibly go wrong?
What's at the end of the runway?
Possibly a broken airplane, if they don't take off.
Planes.
Yeah, they're already broken airplanes at the end of the runway.
Now, what I'm hoping is that they have, like, a camera in the cockpit, and they fire up the engines and get ready to blast down the runway, and the pilot yells, "Punch it, Chewie!" right before they take off.
Okay.
Wait. What you see is you see a picture of a guy holding the handbrake.
we can all rest easy because in fact it did take off. So.
Hey. Yeah, you heard it live.
No.
You heard it live on this show. Not. We love Boeing. Boeing are great. Didn't there was the 787 grounded for some failure or something recently?
Yeah, for landing on runways that are too short.
Gaz
exploded, wasn't it?
It was a what?
The batteries exploded, wasn't it?
No, that was it. Yeah, LiPo batteries. There was a huge thing about that. Gaz, what have you got for us, pal?
Right. Well, I've got a couple of stories. I'm doing it.
Just pick not righties.
Okay. Well, no, I've already got two stories. Other than that, don't worry about it. I'll go for the fun one, which is referring back to the Bitcoin and obviously offering to kill people in the past. This is probably a quickie. I've got another one which we can go to if need to. Bill Gates has still Steve Ballmer killed on South Park. I'm going to put it in the.
You do mean the cartoon show, right? You're not just.
They look like real people to me, but there again,
that's what Peter looked like.
Basically, this is from the Huffington Post, and it is basically South Park doing a sketch where Mr. Obama is on the phone, and he says he's got to put the phone down because Bill Gates has just arrived, and basically Bill gets him killed in the little sketch. Which I thought was quite fun. And then there's another story, which is Microsoft's anti-Google mug is a little desperate. I don't know if you've seen this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Scroogle mug?
But yeah, keep calm while we steal your data. Yeah. But there's other ones. They've got T-shirts of Scroogled, duped, swindled, extorted. I'm not sure they can get away with this, to be honest with you. And then there's another one of a private detective, you know, with his eyes watching you and all that. I'll put that in the show notes as well. So I'm a little surprised if this is real, that actually Microsoft are actually coming up with this sort of stuff, because it does.
Oh, it's real from what I understand.
Yeah, it does shake us a little bit desperate, to be honest with you.
They've always been desperate in what they do.
Yeah, but not this desperate.
Oh, no. It's only $7.99 for the mug as well.
They've been doing it for a while. Do you remember the Gmail man ads from a year or so, a couple of years ago?
Ads? You ever
see that?
Ads?
The Gmail man, where it was like a kind of postman, and he's kind of turned up and he'd deliver your mail, but he'd read it before you got it. And they had a whole kind of YouTube campaign.
which now they realise wasn't actually Google, it was the NSA.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yes. Ewan, can I just ask what service you used to find that picture of the Scroogle thing?
Google. Boom.
Oh, the irony is delicious.
It is. I'm a dedicated Bing user.
I was going to say, I know full well that Ewan uses Bing.
9 of us are going over the curry house for Christmas party. There was a tweet out this week saying about Bing, search engines have been told that they've got to crack down on pornography. And there's been a global email sent out by each of the search providers. Surely Bing could have contacted each of the 9 users directly.
Oh, poor Bing.
So back to South Park.
Oh, go on. That's what?
South Park is in Colorado. It's an actual place here in Colorado.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
And so it was,
put the hit out on him.
Yeah, he killed Kenny.
Yeah.
Jeff Kilkenny. Yeah.
Weekly.
There's probably a bloke in Ireland who listens called Jeff Kilkenny who's just jumped. Spilt his Guinness.
Confused. I've never been to America.
What I do is I take out hits on Kenny, but I use Bitcoin.
Good lad.
Yeah. Awesome. So if you guys ever make it out here to Colorado, I'll take you up to South Park.
I don't know if I'd live, mate. I'd get to you. The air's so thin up there.
Oh, skiing, we can get you an oxygen tank.
Skiing.
Yeah, I need a barometric chamber or whatever it is.
Oh, it's no problem. What we can do, we can build one for you.
Oh.
So what we'll do is take
some... You're desperate for visitors, mate.
I'm lonely.
Yeah, we'll come to I'll bring the family with me. We'll just come out.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
We're in.
Don't worry about being lonely, Jeff. It's a ginger problem.
The wife's ginger, so right. You guys will fit right in.
Yeah, that's cool.
Excellent story, sir. Righty, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, does anyone here or in the chat room have an LG smart TV?
No.
No, I don't.
No, what a surprise. Well, it's a good job you're not watching Babe Station at 11:30 when the wife's in bed then, isn't it?
Why? What do they do?
Well, they've apparently the TVs have been uploading to South Korea what you've been watching. And even if you actually click the privacy thing and say, don't monitor what I watch, it's been uploading it anyway.
Hmm.
So basically they've been saying what you've been watching... on TV. They've also been analysing if you plug a USB stick into your TV. So if basically, if you've got any special videos that you don't want anyone to know about, that's being uploaded, even if you said no. It's being uploaded unencrypted and in clear, so it could be intercepted. But they've come out in the week saying, no, we don't do it. But a UK analyst, a security analyst, said... he monitored the traffic and said, actually, you are. They've come out and said, yes, we are. And now this week, Sony have even come out and said, we're analysing the Blu-rays you watch on your PlayStation. So what the hell's happened with privacy on the internet, but even your TV now?
I just saw that extra that Sony's PlayStation also collects data from the Blu-ray and tells them what's being played. Now, I presume that's for DRM purposes.
I guess so, but you don't want that being logged, do you?
Well,
I think the biggest problem with it is the fact that when you click the privacy button that says don't log what I watch, they carried on watching anyway.
Oh, that's so Google.
Yeah, but it's like you don't expect it from your television, do you? And a lot of consumers, you know, they may try and be careful on their computers, but if your TV's watching you, then who's safe?
I think pretty much anything that connects to the internet at this point in time should be considered a suspect. Everything that's been going on recently. Well,
I thought this thing was basically, if you tick the don't send back data to help out LG button on your menu when you set up, it was just defaulting to send regardless of what your input was. I thought that was all it was about. It wasn't. It's not a spying thing in the true sense, is it?
Yeah, it's not watching you on the settee.
Well, no, it knows what you're watching. But what I'm saying is, when you set it up, it says, do you want to send diagnostic information back to LG? And regardless of whether you ticked yes or no, it did anyway. It's just a firmware update issue.
Well, it says mm-hmm. it says that it's viewing information as well, Ewan.
Which they're going to use to suit your adverts.
Yeah, it's kind of the length of the bloke went to catch them out. So he kind of put dodgy videos onto a USB stick and plugged it in. But I think it's kind of the fact that...
Was that his excuse?
Sorry?
Oh, it was all research, love.
There's
honest.
A whole story here, all created because he had to create an excuse for his wife. Let's be honest.
Well, to be perfectly honest, the file that he loaded up to a USB stick was called Midget Porn. Just to check if it was going through, and they were picking
short
that up. So.
Short stories, good man.
But no, for the for us guys and people watching, you know, we're probably quite up on our privacy. But you know, we're saying, you know, Facebook's watching us and NSA's watching us and all that sort of thing. But a lot of people probably don't realise that the TV's watching them as well. So they probably don't realise there is a computer in there doing all the same sort of things.
Watching what they're watching, not watching them.
Well, not watching them, but a lot of people who probably watch things late at night probably don't want that logged.
They don't. Not people honestly, I don't think, unfortunately, the case is people don't care. We are sweet, us techie types, we are screaming our heads off saying, look, they're monitoring everything you do. They're taking all the slurping up all this data, and be it government or secret or whoever. They're taking this data and, okay, they might not be sifting it through it tonight, but they're just hoarding it, and one day they hope to be able to go back and find it useful for some reason.
The thing is, though, Carl, one day they will be able to sift it almost real time. That's the problem to look for. And then they'll go back and say, right, now what have we got on this guy who's just done this?
Exactly, and everything you do, if you take anything you do out of context, you can apply something nefarious to it, if you wish.
Yeah.
So you get people say, I don't do anything wrong, so I shouldn't be worried. But the point is, if you're two steps away from someone that's done something wrong, and you're blissfully unaware of the fact, they're going to now look at you under a spotlight as well. And when they go back and look at your information, if you've done anything slightly dodgy, or it seems like you've done something slightly dodgy, you're being investigated and you have no idea. That's
exactly. I'm not quite sure with.
I don't think it's that far with this, but
yeah, I don't think it's that far yet. But I do deem that it's less about that, I think, and more all about advertising. I mean, I keep coming back to the film The Fifth Element. There is a scene in there where it's just everything is being direct advertising to the person. I think we are so close to that, and I think it's a horrible environment to be in.
You're right. I don't in relation to this story, I don't think what I'm saying had any direct bearing on this story, because this is just one side issue. All I'm saying is, no matter how loud we scream that they're doing this, normal, like regular people don't care. That's what I'm saying.
No, that's true.
You know, the big thing the big takeaway for me out of this is that it's not whether or not LG is collecting data about people, and it's not about whether or not we're going to see direct advertising pushed out to people. It's about people kind of freak out because they're genuinely concerned that their personal activities are being sucked up and sent off to someone else. I think people are getting a lot more sensitive to privacy when it comes to the technology they use. And regardless of what's happening with the LG TV, it's making some people freak out because they really don't know what's happening with their personal data. I mean, how many people really want someone else knowing that they first bought the Blu-ray of the Bee Gees Christmas special and then second, watch it all the time?
I think, you're absolutely right. I'm not saying you're not right, but I don't think this story's about that. I think this story's more about a cock-up in the firmware.
Yeah, but it feeds in. It destroys confidence in other services, though, doesn't it? Because people,
yeah, it feeds into the bigger picture.
All right, okay. Let's do a quick straw poll.
If it works,
hands up. Who would be bothered if they found out that they owned an LG TV and for the last 2 years it had been sending back what they've been watching to LG because the diagnostics thing hadn't checked the right box in the firmware? Hands up. Who'd be really bothered?
Oh, I'd be pissed off because it's a breach of trust.
Yeah, that's dead right, Jeff. I wouldn't be bothered, but I would be like Jeff, be pissed off. And I would be really...
Well, it shouldn't have happened. I'm not suggesting I'm defending it, but terms of the company, I don't believe there's any nefarious purpose here at all. It's just a cock-up.
And it doesn't matter if there's a nefarious purpose. It feels like a breach of trust. But
there's an awful lot of... Oh, it doesn't matter. We don't worry about it. And there's an awful lot of breaches of personal information which gets leaked out. And it happens all the time from all sorts of areas.
Yeah, Jeff and I are on the same page as far as this goes in terms of the NSA stuff. If you want to take information, and I use the word take as a forcible action, then you need a judicial oversight for that in the form of a warrant of some description. And the fact the NSA have done this without any kind of warrant is abhorrent, absolutely abhorrent. But this company...
I agree.
This is a company cock-up. This is some dickhead who didn't press the right return point on the firmware or something when he was programming it. And instead of defaulting to yes, it's defaulted... defaulting to no, it's defaulted to yes.
Well, yeah, there is
it's
that.
It's an error.
The fact that Sony have come out... post this and saying yes, we're taking information about the Blu-rays that you watch, and that wasn't advertised before. And they've approached Samsung, and Samsung failed to comment. Which, when they fail to comment, means that they're probably doing the same sort of thing. So it's actually more widespread than the LG.
We're now into a different thing entirely because we're not talking about someone not getting the program right before it went out and testing something fairly simple. We're talking about companies who are actively not prohibiting the flow of information back to their own servers. That's a different answer. That is an entirely different answer.
And see, that's what Google was doing. Google lost my faith or my trust a while ago. And it was before the whole Safari mobile cookie thing where they were just bypassing the privacy settings. When they started doing the thing where you would tether software, never found home, the software on your desktop computer, never phone home, never check for updates. It continued to do it anyhow. It didn't matter what you checked.
Yeah, and if that's deliberate, though, that's a problem. I agree.
And it was deliberate, which is unfortunate. And the Safari thing was deliberate as well, although they said it was not. But there is no way that you could craft the cookies, the advertising cookies, to do exactly what they did if you did not intend to make that happen. And they lost my trust, and they can't ever get it back.
No, absolutely not. I agree that. Again, we're on the same page there, Jeff. Absolutely. No question.
Actually, I wonder what metadata this does send back. Because imagine if you're watching a pirate movie, for example, and it sends back to HQ. He's watching a pirate movie.
How would it know? It doesn't have meta off.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Degree. I don't know where it's getting the metadata from, so...
Yeah, I can't see that would have that. It knows it wouldn't. It would know you were watching a. If you're watching a Blu-ray, then it would look for the metadata and it would say it was a nondescript Blu-ray if it was a copy or something or a backup that you'd made.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're talking about the Apple TV knows what's been passed through to it, it's only got a title.
A lot of these smart TVs got USBs and stuff, things in them, haven't they? So
yeah, but
that's what he's saying. He plugged in a USB and he saw it. Saw he was watching.
But it was the title it saw he was watching, not metadata. Not deep metadata. It was just the title metadata. We'll see. It's suspicious that someone hasn't seen it before, perhaps, but. And it's not very good for due diligence, not by any stretch of the imagination.
That's the problem I've got, Ewan. The due diligence of companies to look after people's data and to make sure they're doing the right thing. That's the problem I've got with all of these stories.
Okay.
So we're not Adobe.
And charging too much for it at the same time. I had a really sensible story. I had whether there was going to be an eyesight recognition thing for the Nexus 5 when it came out. Not the Nexus 5, the Galaxy 5. But while I was doing research for one of your stories, I went to businessinsider.com. Now, how reputable is businessinsider.com?
Well, no.
They're not?
No, I don't think. I think they got a pretty bad rap.
Because they've got the Business Insider, you'd think, oh, here, yeah, this is quite an interesting thing. It's a Wall Street-y type journal. No, it's not. I agree. Because what distracted me was actually a story about how much female porn stars get paid for individual scenes. And I had a perfectly good story to talk about, but I thought, no, stuff that. So I went down and read this story, and it was about...
Was that a requirement?
Poor choice of words.
Stuff that, yeah. That too. But it's about agents who work in the porn industry and who cross over into the main film industry as well. But the thing is, I got down to the actual list of how much girls get charged or charge for scenes. So for a girl-girl scene, it's $800. For a guy and a girl scene, it's $1,000. If you use the back door for that, it's $1,200. And for DP, you'll have to look that one up and Google it, but promise me you'll get your result, don't worry, if you've got Safe Search off. $4,000! Right, now here's
the
thing.
How much do you guys make? Because I'm suddenly thinking I'm in the wrong business.
Well, you're the wrong sex as well, mate, to be fair, according to this. That. No, but the thing is, I did the maths on this as well, because it says if you are an in-demand female, you can make $350,000 a year. Well, if you're only doing guy-girl scenes, how the hell do you sit down? That's one a day. And he can't be doing it
every day,
surely. I suppose there must be an... Apparently, there's a girl named Sarah... I can't remember. I found a linked article, but she went on holiday to Europe and she came back and she said, it looks like I'm doing a bit more anal to pay off my credit card bill from the holiday. So there you go. So I had a perfectly good tech story, but I got completely sidetracked. I'm sorry.
And see, now I'm seriously thinking, how much money could I make as a porn actor?
Apparently, guys make $100,000 at best.
That's more than I'm making now.
So Jeff, we're talking. You'd need to have something that was banging your kneecaps, mate, to get $100,000 a year.
$100,000, well, Singapore dollars.
Then, just to keep the mystery in our relationship, I will continue to be a tech journalist instead.
Well, Batwitch does point out that part-time you could be a fluffer. That would help.
I see that, yeah.
Oh, I remember when this show used to be about tech. It was an awesome show. Why have we done a really inappropriate story just before the advertisers? Again. Oh, it's because it's my story. Yeah, there we go. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They're bloody brilliant. They've got some fantastic deals on at the moment. They just finished their 50% off deal. Gaz, sod off. And you can get tons of stuff from them. They've got loads of stuff on dedicated servers, co-location services. There's so much out there. Even if you just want to buy a simple domain name, you can do it. And they've got a fantastic service called Website Builder, which is... It's a one-minute job to put up a website. It really is that easy. And it includes the shopping cart as well. So you might be a bit of a dab with the old CSS or HTML or something. You can get something up and running pretty quickly, but it's always kind of like the shopping cart that stumbles you or something like that. Don't worry, because Website Builder's got built-in. It's drag-and-drop web cart and link to your PayPal account. It's that easy. So check them out. UK2 are brilliant. They support us. They keep us on the air. They can absorb all the bandwidth. So please check them out, because we couldn't do the show without them. Love them to bits. Right then, it's time for the cool thing. I think I've kind of already done my cool thing, really, but I have got another. Mr. Madden, what's the cool thing for you?
Oh, God. It's just, I'm going to go with Google Play for iOS this week.
Why?
Because it's wonderful. The fact that...
Oh, you can't just say it's wonderful. We need features, dude.
I was going to carry on, but you interrupted.
I apologise. Go ahead.
No, the fact that you, if you download the app or on your PC or your Mac, well, you can upload all your music to the Google servers. Pretty much you can, like the same you can do with the Apple. Smart Share. I forgot what they called it. What's the Apple version of it? It's called
iTunes Match.
iTunes Match. Thank you very much. But this one is totally free, as far as I know. Apart from, of course, they take note of your data. And then you can stream it down to your iOS device. There's only an iPhone version around at the moment, but you, it still goes on the iPad, but it looks a bit, you know, chunky, unfortunately. You can subscribe, like you can with Spotify, for $9.99 a month, and stream all their content as well, and mix it in with your own content, so you can make these user playlists, and you can have the radio function, where it'll just play similar artists one after the other, after the other. And it's a really good service. See, I got in quite early, so I'm only paying $7.99. So maybe in about a month or two, I might have to knock Spotify on the head because it basically does the same job as Spotify.
Well, do you know that if you have a Nokia phone, you get the equivalent service called Nokia Music, which is exactly the same as Spotify, and it's free. Yep.
But then I'd have to have a Nokia phone.
Oh, you, tell you, mate, you will never go back. Okay. Once you've had a Windows 8 Nokia 1020. You will never go back. A guy asked me this week, he said, what would you suggest as a kind of really good handbag camera for the missus? Said Nokia 1020. He went, that's a phone, isn't it? I said, no, it's a camera that happens to make calls. It is a brilliant, brilliant camera. Love it to bits. Absolutely love it. Best thing I've ever done, mate. Best thing I've ever done is get out of the Apple-verse.
I'm more than happy for you.
There you go. That's all right. I'm on the wrong show to get hate mail. I haven't had any this week, actually, funny enough. Now I've read those other ones out.
You're not trying hard enough.
Give me tomorrow. I was actually quite placid last week. That hasn't helped. Good pick, mate. We do like it. Google stuff's good, though. It is very good, definitely. Nokia Windows phones are great, says Mr. Batwinch. He's absolutely
right. Oh, by the way, you get Instagram today, don't you?
We've got it on beta today. It's not on full, but it's on beta. But it's still shit filters on your photos. The other thing that I found today as well, I've noticed that if your lead is too long, it doesn't. It'll sync and it'll charge, but when you start the Windows Phone app, it doesn't recognise the device. You have to put a short lead on to get it to recognise the device. Don't know whether that's consistent for everyone or whether I've just got a fault, but there you go. If anyone knows why that does that, let me know. Jeffrey, what's your cool thing?
My cool thing, if I need to pick a different cool thing, I will do this because I can come up with something very quickly. But my cool thing was going to be coin.
Really? And
yes.
Despite everything we said, you still think that's cool? But you're in America, you see. You haven't got chip and pin, so.
Right. And credit cards aren't secure anyhow. So the security concerns that people have about coin, I don't see as an issue because it's probably more secure in the long run than just having regular credit cards. Because if someone runs off with my coin and I have, say, 5 credit cards loaded into it, the thing deactivates. They have nothing but my coin, and I'm pissed off because I have to go buy a new one.
$100, yeah.
Right. And, well, right now, $50. But since I can manage all my credit cards, I can have them in a single thing, and if someone steals my wallet, they make off with that, my credit card is still safely tucked away somewhere else, not with me.
Good.
I don't have to cancel my credit cards.
It's a good idea.
I just go and get them and continue with life until my new coin shows up.
Apparently, Batwinch wants to fluff your fridge because it looks so soft. I don't know if that's a euphemism, whether she actually means the fridge that's in the background.
No, she's saying fringe, not fridge.
Oh, fringe! That's what I hate, being dyslexic. Shit.
Yeah. So Batwinch, you can fluff my fringe anytime.
Hey, cool. There we go. Oh, Batwinch fluffing. No. Moving on. Gaz, what have you got for us, mate?
Right. Now, you're going to have to ignore the logo in the middle. But what I'm actually showing you here, you can see that.
It's a Union Jack, yes, yeah, for those that are on audio.
Jack. It's a Union Jack, but actually I've used this product, this type of product, on various different devices. and it's from a company called Jelloskins.
Oh, they make awesome
one
stuff.
One of them, yep.
And I don't think, I've not come across them being put as a pick on many places, but you can basically design or pick from lots of different artwork they've got. But you can't, you don't just get it for Apple devices, although there are, when you first go on, you think, oh, it's just an Apple-related website. But it's not. You can search for LG phones, Sony stuff, Sony laptops, PS game stations, Samsung devices, all sorts. You just type it in, and then basically you go through the site, and you can upload your own picture if you want, because I've got a couple of phones with pictures of my wife and the kids on the back, and people always take note of it. Everybody loves the Union Jack on the back of my MacBook Air there. The stuff comes off quite easily. It's fixed. That has been on, and that has not shown any sign of curling at the edges at all. It sticks really well.
Yeah.
However, I took a phone into the Apple Store too because I needed it to be looked at, and I took the skin off because I thought, if they want to give me a replacement, I want to keep the skin and put it on the new phone. Well, they didn't. It didn't need replacing. I brought the phone back home, put the skin straight back on, and it stuck ever since again. So it's
really
super. Yep.
That's excellent.
Which I was really impressed with. Jelloskins. I'll put a link into the chat room.
So I mean, realistically, you could say then if you've got like the Logitech keyboard, you could curl the back up so that it fits in the groove, and then put the thing back, and it would still stick.
Possibly, yes.
Maybe not a lot of times, but...
Not a lot of times, no, but it seems to work really well, and they go on really easily, and you can slide them, you know, adjust them slightly, but then once they're on, they're on, and then, it, as I say, the one on the phone, I took it off, and I was a little bit dubious. I thought, this isn't... But I took it off, I put it basically on another clear glass device, and I was away for 3 or 4 hours, came back, put it back on, and it, yeah, no problems at all.
Excellent. Good pick, mate. And they do things as well where you can download the wallpaper for your iPad so that it's the same on both sides.
That's right. Yeah, you can actually do the wallpaper on your device so it matches in with the picture that you've put on the
front
back.
Screen as well. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And it covers the front as well. They've got a little screen for the front, and it covers that too. Yes.
Yep.
Excellent. We like that. That's a good one. What are they like for price though?
They are, they're not cheap. They're not cheap. But, you pay your money and takes your choice, Ewan.
I don't mind paying for quality, mate.
No, it is. But I think this one was, I remember now, because it's I've had this on a couple of years now, but it's like anywhere between 15 to 20, £25, something. That's for the big one. For the phones, they're much cheaper, 10.
I mean, I'm scrolling down through the iPad Air stuff here, and I still haven't got to the bottom.
Oh, there's tons of stuff on there. Unbelievable. What I like is you can upload your own and make the adjustments, all of that stuff. It's a really good site, actually.
Do they then adjust the JPEG for you as well so that it'll match the front cover?
Yes, you can do that as well.
Oh, I might be out of pocket by quite a bit by the end of tonight, then. And into bed late. Oh, you've got to try 5 a.m. 5 a.m. is a wondrous-looking cover.
I'm just looking at them on Amazon.
Good pick.
There are other companies as well, but I've come across a lot.
Thank you, Mr. BBC. Good pick, mate. Like that a lot. Like that an awful lot. I'm not going to listen to Wrighty's pick now because I'll be sitting ordering covers. Sorry, Red dude. Then. Go ahead. What's your pick, mate?
Well, I was thinking of something to do for a cool thing, and then you reminded me of something that's on a tweet you put out with. Last weekend, I bought for my daughter Minecraft Pocket Edition for iOS.
Oh.
I wasn't really into what Minecraft was, and maybe I'm a little too old. I think you've now discovered what it is as well.
I wish I hadn't.
Yeah, but it's a really fantastic thing. One, it kind of takes you back, you know, but the things that kids can do on it, it's, you know, only so 20 immersive, euros. They can just create their own worlds in there, build their own games. I think when they can go online, they can interact with each other in real time. I haven't played the kind of full PC or Mac version, but the iOS version is absolutely fantastic. And just what they can build in there, and she's always coming in, bringing her iPad and going, look what I've built. And it's just like they learn physics and they learn design and it's all in 3D. And just as it's $4.99, which for an iOS app seems a lot of money, and it's not as it's more limited than the kind of computer version of it. But for kids, I think being in Minecraft,
there is a free version, isn't
play
there?
Minecraft than she play on a Xbox or a Wii or anything like that, because she actually finds she's actually learning something from it, and she's actually getting kind of she's being productive, and I've really enjoyed that, and it's absolutely brilliant. So I'm actually thinking about splashing it for the full version as well. But when I bought it, I got it on my iPad. I've been playing with it for the last week or so, and just great fun.
$16.99 if you want to buy it. So it works out about $16.99 on the euro conversion rate. So.
But it's absolutely brilliant for kids because they learn so much from it and they really enjoy it.
It is. So. Extremely good.
Yeah.
Good pick, mate. My pick, because tomorrow is the 50th anniversary of the killing of JFK. In Dealey Plaza, whether you're a grassy knoll person or a book depository person, it was probably one of the saddest days in my parents' lifetime. Anyway, I wasn't quite born at the time. But the movie JFK that was done by Oliver Stone with Kevin Costner in the lead as Jim Garrison, I watched it again the other night. I bought it off iTunes because I had it on video, on VHS, and it's upstairs in the loft somewhere, but I haven't actually got anything to play it to kind of copy it, and plus it'd be crap quality. And I got the HD version. I think it was $8.99 on iTunes. And it was really good. A real quality movie. Really, really enjoyed it, I have to say. Looking back through it, we had to do it in two stints because it's like a three-hour movie. But if you're thinking of something to watch for the weekend, tomorrow is the anniversary of the death of Kennedy. And I don't know what time it exactly was, but it was a sad, sad moment. And it's interesting as well, if you look at some of the comments that are made at the start of JFK, it talks about the things that Kennedy wanted to achieve, and it was about breaking down the power of the CIA and talking about America not, the world not dancing to America's drum and that kind of stuff. And it's an awful lot of stuff that we've actually got major problems with at the moment with the US. So it's interesting what would have happened maybe if he'd have lived a bit longer. There you go, JFK on iTunes. I'm sure
it's
a
you picked the film.
Yeah, no, I just we've watched a lot of films just lately, and Gatsby last week really impressed me, and JFK always impressed me, and I just reminded me, and we did Hangover 3 last night, and we were expecting it to be a bit not as good as the other two, but we quite enjoyed it. It wasn't as good as the other two, but we did enjoy it. It was pleasant.
That's not tomorrow's pick, is it?
No. Got a proper Mac pick for tomorrow.
Oh,
something,
nice.
Something, I'll get letter, something I'll get letters over. Bollocks, I do Mac picks. At least I turn up for the show. At least I turn up for the show, Madden.
Let's review some of your picks recently.
For the Mac show, go on then.
Oh, we have a Netflix.
Yeah, quality. Yeah. Apple TV.
Apple TV. What was the one before that?
How's the Apple TV not a frigging Apple
because
pick?
It's been out for about a year and a half.
Ah, oh, bollocks, man. There's no time scale on this. It's my cool thing.
Carl, I think you'll find the Apple TV's been out for a little bit longer.
Well, 1080. I picked the 1080 because I switched the week before, man, from a 720 to a 1080, and I was just saying it was worth it.
I'm telling you, I'm picking Google.
You're worse than the fanboys you are, bollocks.
What?
You pick Google then. But it's not an Apple pick. At least mine are Apple picks, you see. I've got vague connotations of being on the topic, if you like.
You can go to Google on your Apple device.
Bollocks. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Madden?
You can get a hold of me on Twitter at claw0101.
Excellent, mate. How about a here and there show, no?
No.
Oh, sorry. Moving
not
on.
Not this year, anyway. Not this year.
Oh, that was I've touched a nerve there.
No. She's too busy, unfortunately.
Not this year?
No.
I haven't got a clue what I'm doing the week after next. How the hell does she know what she's doing up till next year?
Very organised.
She's a woman. Mm. Yeah, okay, good point. Where are you, Jeff?
I'm at the Mac Observer, so that's macobserver.com. And on Twitter and app.net, I'm Jay Gamut. And here, just the big show, the comic show, sometimes the Mac show. So basically the Jeff Gamut Network. And then
Hey, it's my joke to tell, not yours. That's a coup right there.
Oh, I don't remember negotiating that back into your contract.
Thanks, man.
So anyhow, I do a bunch of other podcasts, and yeah, like later this afternoon, I'll be recording. We have communicators, and yesterday recorded Apple Context Machine. And go check out my blog, Fresh Brewed Tales, where I talk about the stuff I see in coffee shops. I did a post, I think, about a week ago, so hopefully I'm getting caught up on keeping everyone up to date on the ridiculous things I see in coffee shops.
Excellent, man. It's really good. Gazmaz, where are you, sir?
Well, I'm Gazmaz, and I've got a job.
And I'm going to use it.
Sorry. Yeah, Gazmaz.com or Gazmaz on Twitter. I do a weekly show with a guy called Guy Searle over at My Mac. That's a My Mac podcast, and we have a bit of fun.
Good luck.
Just generally, you're fine.
Good man. And last but by no means least, Ace Reviewer Writing, where are you?
Hello, I'm at Twitter forums and writing for British Tech Network, where you can find a nice review of Carl's pick of Google Play Music right now.
All right. Good man, mate. Thank you very much. We'll be back again next Friday for the big show if you want to come and watch live, not Thursday, 8 p.m. as normal. And the Mac show's tomorrow at 3:30, and we'll be back again next Friday at 3:30 if you're listening to the audio podcast. Thanks very much for listening. Really appreciate it.